Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
That's on in my car all of the time. I don't put it on. I have no control over what goes on in my car. And it's really catchy.
It's unbelievably catchy.
It's so catchy. Adam loves it. It's called Golden, and it's a track from this mega hit for Netflix called K-Pop Demon Hunters, which is an animated movie about a trio of women who form a pop group while moonlighting as, yes, Demon Hunters. And it's become the most watched movie on the streaming site ever. 236 million views. And it has also made Billboard history as well, because it has four simultaneous top 10 hits, each as catchy as that one, which was called Golden. And Adam McGuire is here because he's mad about all this stuff. And he's going to explain.
I have no choice.
No, you've no choice. No, the same.
Yeah.
But you know what? I sort of do like that song now, because I have to.
Yeah. You just can't help it. It's incredibly catchy, and pretty much all of the big songs from it are just incredibly catchy.
Yeah.
Across the whole film. So, I was saying Soda Pop, which is kind of real bubbly, you know, and you listen to it going, this should annoy me, but for some reason you're kind of singing along to it.
Yeah, well, you see, the worst thing in my house is that it does annoy one of my children, and then another child okay. loves it, and the other person is just has yeah. no interest at all. So it causes rows.
Right.
Anyway,
yeah.
What is it? What is K-pop Demon Hunters?
Yeah, as you say, it's the story of Huntrix, which is a girl band, a K-pop girl band, who by night are demon hunters. And then the story is of how the demons then try and fight back by creating a boy band called the Saja Boys, who try and steal the fans of Huntrix. So the whole thing is their singing is what gives them their power and helps them fight the demons. So if you steal all their fans, then you undermine them and the demons can come back. That's basically the gist of it. And you put in all of these K-pop, really poppy, bubbly songs all around it, and they get stuck in your head and you can't stop.
But the background to it's really interesting, isn't it? Because it was never really meant to be a hit, or people in power.
Yeah.
Didn't expect it to
no,
be.
No, yeah, the people in charge definitely didn't expect it to be. And the reason we know that is you go back to a deal that was done in 2021. So K-Pop Demon Hunters is made by Sony Pictures Animation, their animation subsidiary. But Sony is one of the few big movie studios that doesn't have its own streaming platform. So you think of Disney, they have Disney Plus, Paramount has Paramount Plus, Warner Brothers has HBO Max, MGM has Amazon Prime, and so on. Sony, though, has stayed out of the streaming race. But what they did in 2021 was agree a deal with Netflix that essentially made Netflix the de facto streamer of Sony movies for the next few years anyway. And it was a kind of two-sided deal. So on the one hand, Netflix would be the streamer to get any Sony movies once they finished their cinema run. So that would include the likes of Paddington in Peru, Bad Boys for Life, the Venom movies and so on. And then the other side of the deal gave Netflix dibs on any Sony movies that they were going to release directly to streaming or directly to on demand. So ones that they didn't want to put in the cinema, Netflix would have first call on them. And the arrangement was that if they did that, Netflix would pay for the production and then pay a small fee on top of that. And that's where K-Pop Demon Hunters came from. Sony offered it to Netflix while it was kind of in early stages of production in 2021. Clearly, they didn't have much faith in it going to the cinemas. They didn't think it would be profitable for them. So Netflix paid the $100 million to produce the movie, and then they paid a $20 million fee on top of that to Sony. And Sony obviously thought, this is a good deal. We're not going to get any better than that. Let's take the $20 million and walk
just,
away.
It's huge money
yeah.
for something that clearly Sony thought, oh, well, it's a bit of a turkey, but they still got $120 million for it.
Yeah, they got Incredible. The cost covered and they got the $20 million profit guaranteed. And they yeah. felt like, yeah, that's probably better than they're going to do in the cinema.
So how quickly then, before Netflix realises, aha, we have something special on our hands?
I think it takes them a while as well. You know, you think they spent $120 million on this movie. Surely they want to give it a big push. It is a lot of money, of course, but not really to Netflix. You know, they previously said they're planning on spending $18 billion on content this year alone. So $120 million is kind of a drop in the ocean.
Yeah.
Another movie they had out this year, The Electric State, which they did make a big push on, was cost somewhere in the region of $320 million. Red Notice, which came out 4 years ago, cost them $200 million. So $120 million, it's a lot of money, not huge by Netflix standards, not, you know, budget breaking by any stretch. And, you know, when K-Pop Demon Hunters came out on the the 20th of June, it came out with relatively little fanfare. It was, you know, put up to the top of the platform when you went on and logged in, but there wasn't much marketing around it. There weren't billboards, there weren't TV ads. It wasn't a big media junket. They didn't do the kind of promotional tie-ins with, you know, fast food chains and all that kind of stuff that you tend to see when studios want a movie to be a big hit. I think, though, the most significant sign that Netflix didn't realise this was going to be a big hit is they didn't have any merchandise or toys ready. And that's a crucial thing. If you're making a kids film, you have the merch ready to go. And they're now clearly kind of scrambling to fill the gap. They've rushed out some kind of clotheslines. They're taking pre-orders on the Funko Pop figures, those kind of bobbleheady kind of figures. They won't actually be available to customers till next year, the start of next year. That's how kind of far behind they are.
We need a K-pop Labubu. That's what we need.
Exactly, yeah. I'd say there are factories working overtime on similar products to that.
You can be sure. So how did the success happen?
Yeah, a lot of it's being attributed to the fact that K-pop as a genre has a huge global following and a very committed one at that as well. And the film kind of appears to have done a good job of representing the music and the kind of culture around it. And so it's been embraced by the K-pop community. It doesn't hurt that the soundtrack is packed with really, really catchy songs. And you know, the film itself is quite, even though the name sounds a bit dark, it's quite upbeat. It's quite fun.
Have you watched it?
Do you know what? I've only seen it in patches. I know the songs better than I know the film, but yeah. Bits of it I've seen, it's funny. It's kind of, you know, it trips along and it, you know, it's entertaining. All I hear are my kids laughing their heads off at various parts of it. So it's definitely doing.
But you know the music, Adam. Head. So that's the most important.
That's the most
part.
Important thing. Yeah, and I know how to find it on my streaming platform of choice, which is most important for the kids. But after that, the launch in June, the momentum builds around it. You see people putting the videos up on, or the songs up on social media. They're talking about how good the music is. You have all these parents putting up videos on social media, you know, half jokingly complaining that their kids want to watch this silly cartoon, and then it cuts to them doing the dance routine and singing along to it. You know, they get sucked in as well. So it's become a bona fide smash. As you say, 236 million total views so far as of last week, the streamer's most popular ever movie. That's 5 million more than Red Notice, which, as I say, came out 4 years ago. At the time, like a real A-list cast, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Gal Gadot, Ryan Reynolds, you know, that was kind of made in a lab to be a blockbuster smash. But it, as you say, though, it's not just Netflix. The song Golden has topped the Billboard charts in the US, has topped the charts in the UK. Four of the top 10 in the Billboard charts are from the film, the first soundtrack to ever do that. On the back of the success, Netflix also released a limited release of a sing-along version in cinemas. Ireland was one of the countries that got it. It was literally only for a week, but it was popular enough to become their first ever box office number one as well. The first time Netflix has had a box office hit, basically, on the back of a one-week release of this sing-along version.
So it's a stratospheric thing, really.
Yeah.
I mean, what we're talking
it's
about.
It's incredible, yeah.
So is Netflix reaping all the benefits of this? Like, poor old Sony now. You explained the numbers. So the production was paid for. That's the 100 million, but that's spent.
Yeah.
And the 20 million was
20 million is profit, and that's it. That's all they're getting.
That's all Sony will see out of this.
They won't get any kind of revenue sharing deal with Netflix, any extra subscribers to sign up or anything like that. That's all going to Netflix. They probably didn't even get anything from the limited cinema release. Sony is a music publisher as well. They're not even getting it from the soundtrack success either, because it was actually released on a label called Republic Records, which is part of Universal Music Group. So they're not even getting benefit from the soundtrack.
Starting
being
to feel
hit.
Sorry for Sony.
You know, almost, you know, really at this stage, the best hope that Sony have of maybe getting a cut, if they, depending on the deal, they might get a cut from merchandise or toys. There is a sequel, obviously, in the works, and we'll probably have multiple sequels as well. And apparently, Sony and Netflix have to agree on that. So that's probably their opportunity to make profit from, big profit from K-pop Demon Hunters. From the first one, though, 20 million, that's it, they're
that's
done.
That's a write-off for Sony. Are they sore about it, do we know?
Yeah, I mean, it feels a bit like the modern version of Mike Smith and Decca Records. They infamously turned down the Beatles and said guitar bands are on the way out, you know. It is, though, it's also case that Sony recently, their leadership has been saying, we need our own intellectual property. We need things that we can make series of films and TV shows. We need things that we can make franchises out of.
Don't like be giving Disney it away, do. Lads.
And this is it. K-pop is probably going to become a franchise. You know, you can see it already. In fairness, though, to Sony, you kind of have to say the context of the deal they made in 2021 has to be kind of borne in mind, because obviously 2021, the film industry was in the doldrums due to COVID-19 restrictions. People just weren't going to the cinema, certainly not nearly the numbers they had been pre-pandemic. And audience levels haven't really recovered from that. People, you know, in part because of streaming, people, it takes a lot more to convince us to go out and go to a film. And when we do, it tends to be something we're very familiar with, like a franchise, a sequel, you know, a remake, that kind of thing. We don't like new stuff. We don't take the chance in it. You know, and even when you do have something recognisable, it's not guaranteed to be a hit. And of course, a big part of what made K-Pop Demon Hunters so big was the fact that there's a low barrier for entry. Most people have a Netflix subscription. You hear buzz about this, mm-hmm. say, oh, sure, it's just a push of a button, I'll check it out. Yes. It doesn't cost me anything other than a bit of time. You know, how many of those 236 million views would have actually gone to a cinema, paid for a ticket for their kids and the food and all that on something that they'd never heard of and didn't know if it was going to be entertaining or not, you know? So with all that in mind, you can kind of see why Sony said, let's just take the 20 million on. So it's unproven and untested. We'll take our
just
profit and walk away.
Just one of those
away,
things.
You know?
Well, a listener says my daughter's obsessed with K-pop Demon Hunters. The dancing my six-year-old performs to these songs is like something out of Little Miss Sunshine. Gareth, though, is annoyed with us. Claire, what are you doing? The hours my daughter is at school are normally a safe space. Free of Huntrix. Well, you'll be delighted, Gareth, to hear this again.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.